folks. Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your fill-in host, Sean Freilich. You'll be with me all Friday. And this is Technori Live on WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Now we've got someone, a group that we've been chasing for a while here. We have Looplio. And with Looplio, we have the founder, Paul Templar, CMO, Mike Jennings, and Chief Creative Officer, Jim Marcus. Welcome to the Technori Studio, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
So, you guys are in the video collaboration business. So, tell us a little bit about Looplio.
So, Looplio was founded back in 2015, May of 2015. Original idea was I was sitting on my couch one night flipping through videos and photos of my son, Aiden, after he was born, and just realizing that I had hundreds of photos and probably just as many videos, and family members had done the same thing. And I was looking at for a way to put everything together, put it together with music, and also share it with family and have them share their stuff with me almost in an instantaneous live way. And so I realized that working with Movie Editor Pro, it was going to take me days and maybe even weeks by the time I got everything back from them. And you know, some of the other collaborative video editing platforms out there were not going to allow me to work with an unlimited number of collaborators. So that's when I came up with the idea for Looplio and approached Jim. And we've been working on it for about a year and 8 months, maybe.
So this is all about making Paul's son famous.
Yeah. He's going to be legendary, right? So, and then met Mike soon after founding the company and brought him on as my CMO. And actually, we're getting ready to go live with beta tonight. So we're really excited about that.
Huge milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
terrifying.
What were the pain and the tears and the trials and the tribulations and the joys that were involved to getting to you guys to this point?
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because we've been really lucky. We've had a ton of creators who, because we really want to cater to creators, people who want to build things. X-Vine people, people who were on Snapchat, a lot of creators who have been talking to us about what they want, and they've had some great ideas, but everyone has their own ideas, you know? So coming up with a release schedule that made sense, where we were rolling features in a sensible way, was actually really complicated. You know, everyone kind of has their own pet feature that they just love, you know, right. And even now we're going to go into beta with a lot of people who have their pet features that they're like, where's this, you know, and you want to keep pushing and you want to have everything perfect, but you know, it's better to get out there and to keep working and have people working with it.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest things to realize is that, you know, it's never going to be perfect, right? You're always going to be innovating. So we had to scale back a little bit and realize that let's just get it out there, get some feedback, and you know, just keep the machine rolling. So that's kind of where we're at. And again, we're excited to be in this spot.
You kind of remind yourself sometimes that Twitter launched like without a search engine, you know, and that seems like such a core component to it right now.
Yeah.
And so what we have is really huge, and it's so much, but obviously it's nowhere near close to what we're hoping for phase two and phase three. And
Right. I think it's just realizing that we're doing a lot of stuff that is in one way already out there and that we're innovating on, but we're also doing a lot of really hard new stuff that isn't out there already. So the new stuff that's not already out there has definitely been one of the most challenging aspects, and just finding the people that can do it development-wise for us. But we've definitely made some breakthroughs. We've, you know, had a patent go through recently for a design of a tool and some other features. So,
and then there's the pain point that I think every video application has to deal with, which is you need to find things to shoot while you're actually developing things so you don't get bored out of your mind. We've effectively shot ourselves doing everything, you know. Right. And it's really, you get to the point where you're like, I don't need to see myself in video one more time.
Right.
What do you mean you shot yourself doing everything?
Well, you're building a video tool, right?
So yeah.
You're constantly like trying things out and uh-huh. everything like that and shooting stuff. At a certain point, you pretty much get sick of seeing yourself on video.
Sure.
You're like, I can't shoot another minute of video, right? But you kind of have to keep on building and doing stuff like that. So I think at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of us on video, a lot more than we're hoping.
Right. One of the things, too, is like we have a patent-pending circular editor tool, which basically lets us do an infinite number of videos and photos. And so it doesn't matter whether you have a 2-second video on there or a 2-hour video. It's not going to automatically speed up when you get to this 2-second video. It's going to kind of treat it as though it's the same as the 2-hour video, so that the time actually slows down while you're scrolling over that video in the editing process to make sure it doesn't get skipped over. And then there's some new filters and stuff like that that we obviously had to test out on ourselves. And
yeah, we'll have your traditional social media tools that are out there now with the various platforms, but we're also kind of innovating and we're bringing in some new tools as well.
And okay. You're talking about like you're trying to solve some problems, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's some really amazing problems to actually be solved, some really interesting ones. Like, how do you deal with a near infinite number of video clips on a screen this big? You know, that's one thing. So we had some really interesting ideas how to approach that. How do you collaborate with large numbers of people at the same time and everyone still be able to participate? You know, that was a really tough one.
Yeah, we're talking like, you know, unlimited. So it doesn't matter 1 or 10,000 people. We want that many people to collaborate in a live, instantaneous type of way and all have access to the project so people can be doing editing film clips or music or, you know, pictures and all working on the same project at once. So figuring out that was kind of like a big milestone for us.
And then there's a lot of the, how do you let creators control and own their own work and yet still allow other people to kind of remix it and play around with it and stuff like that? You know, how do you find ways to make sure that people can see the things that they definitely want to see, you know, without inundating them with stuff that they don't want and they don't want to see? There are a lot of ethical issues we wanted to hammer out in regards to social media because I feel like that's on the table right now.
Right.
You know, a lot of ethical issues around social media about how to approach people's who don't want to relate to other people, who don't want to connect with other people. How do you make sure that someone isn't wasting their time and they're only seeing what they want to see? How do you manage the fact that people have different intents at different times of the day? And right now I might be interested in this, whereas later today I'll be interested in this, you know? A lot of problems that we're trying to find ways to solve.
Yeah, and I think like some of the couple of the terms we came up with were like radical accessibility and radical inclusivity. So just making sure that the app is accessible and usable to all skill levels of people, and also that everybody feels like the platform, that they can be a part of the platform. So we are talking about doing things such as green screens in locations where people can just do cool stuff all day or just jump in front of the green screen or contact us live and get feedback from us live, or, you know, we answer questions live for our users. And so it's all about interaction too for us and creating a totally different kind of company that is there. We're present. We're, you know, part of the community just as the community is part of us. So
yeah, user stickiness is definitely something we want, and that's what we're trying to implement with our different features.
But we're even excited about like a solution that we found for the fact that left-handed users are very often left in, you know, in the dark about how to manage certain things.
Thank you. I'm a lefty.
Yeah. So you'll be able to you'll be able to choose left-handedness for our app, and so that'll be the main thing. So you'll, instead of having to like stretch your left thumb all the way over to the right hand of the screen, the buttons will shift around accordingly for you to be able to use the app.
It's bizarre how badly left-handed users are treated with by apps and things like that. I'm sure you know more than
I've had to become ambidextrous. Become a right-handed person in many ways, except for writing will always be a lefty thing for me.
It's hard to even enter a building when you have a pass, because you're always like, you wave it on the left side and of course that one opens over there, you know, because they're expecting on the right side. So I feel like, you know, we have a solution that we really love, and it's interesting because that was not a small problem. I think it's a bigger one than people think it is.
Yeah, so expect like lots of kind of smaller things like that to be innovative for us, but there's also a lot of bigger things coming down the pipeline that we're innovating on. And I think when we do hit the market, we're going to hit it in a big way, and it's going to definitely be something that people are going to be really excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And for myself, I would consider myself intermediate when it comes to video production. I've been doing it professionally for 2.5 years now. And Adobe Premiere keeps coming to mind for me because that has been my home for video production.
Yeah.
Was that part of the model that you base this product off of?
We spent a lot of time in Premiere because I'm a big Premiere fan too. You know, mm-hmm. I like Final Cut, I like Premiere. We tried to build something more open-ended if we could. And what's interesting about this is imagine having Premiere where 30 people could work on the same video at the same time and you could add your own filters. You know, and I feel like that's where we were trying to get to. A lot of the video editing tools that are even out there on mobile, they don't let you manage your files very well. So it's important to us, like, we wanted to be able to archivally manage files. We wanted to be able to find a way to handle the things that professional video editors cared about. You know, obviously, it's like, I want to be able to go back to this and keep my files. I want to be able to have a good environment to actually work with. At the same time, find something that someone who's, like, you know, 13 years old who just started this can do something great with, you know? And that's a little bit tough, but I think we actually have a really good middle line right now.
Right.
Yeah, the creator is the consumer, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and so imagine, too, so you have your cell phone and you have certain capabilities that you can do on there, like, you know, you've got only a certain amount of battery power, and even though you're getting a lot more functionalities that are coming down the pipeline through iOS and stuff like that, we wanted to create something that as you increased with the capabilities of the device that you were using, the editing capabilities increased, you know, the tools increased as well, and what you could plug in with that also increased. So the iPad and eventually the Android pad devices and things like that would have more editing capabilities and more tools. Then you would move to the laptop, which would have more. And then eventually, once we get to, you know, the desktop, which has, you know, a lot better, you know, storage and processing capabilities and things like that, would have, you know, your largest suite of all, where it would be, you know, like Adobe Premiere and Movie Editor Pro and so, but all in a collaborative, even social networking type environment. So,
and let's face it, I mean, Premiere is a great tool. It's fantastic. If you imagine the pressures of trying to take something like Premiere, move it to a mobile environment, and make it completely accessible with one thumb, you know, which is what we tried to do. I know that from watching people, you know, work with their phones and stuff like that, if something can't be done with one thumb, people start to lose interest in it. You know, it's really important for us to kind of build something that people could flick, you know, kind of enjoy and play with, because there has to be some joy in doing this.
Right.
You know, that's the issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that we did is we tried to, it's kind of a made up word, but iconify the app as much as possible, so that when we expand over into foreign markets, you have these icons that everybody understands, instead of having words, you know, for like, press this or do this. It's an icon that people understand. They understand symbols. And that's part of the radical, you know, inclusivity and accessibility that we wanted. So,
sounds like you guys really bit off more than you can chew. I mean, it's just, it just seems like question after question after question. Did you guys realize as you got the ball rolling that, wow, there's so much that we did not consider? And mm-hmm.
Yeah,
started,
I mean,
this
you kind of, you kind of don't see the snowball building as it's rolling down the hill, because you're so deep into things. And then eventually you look up and you're like, oh my gosh, this snowball is like really huge. And so we, you know, like Mike said, we scaled back a bunch and said, okay, what is a very reasonable MVP for us at this point? And so that's where we're at with the beta. And then the nice thing about it is, because we, you know, developed all these other tools and we did all the design work, pretty much all this other stuff as we go on down the line is ready to be plugged in as we go.
The thing is, too, there's a lot of fun to this idea of sitting down at a table and saying, okay, we're going to reinvent. What if video were invented today? It would probably be more of an app toward a feel than a document. Video would do more. It would behave differently. You know, you'd have video that had you know, choose your own adventure type feel, where you could actually, you know, decide where you go. You'd have multiple audio files. It would be accessible to people, like descriptive video for people who can't hear, you know. You'd have a lot more opportunities for the average person in video. Right. And so just imagining that and moving forward with it was interesting to us, knowing full well that some of this stuff is like phase 3,
phase,
you know,
4. I mean, we've got a roadmap that probably extends out a good 4 or 5 years.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And the other thing I really would hope that people would keep into consideration or mind of is that we're not just building an app, we're building an entire platform. So, you know, I think it helps people understand that, okay, yeah, that's a lot of features, that's a lot of stuff, but it's not just an app, we're building an entire platform. So,
when the beta comes out and I start uploading videos, does it immediately have, is it open to the public's, like, tinkering at that point? Is that how it works?
Well, what's going to happen in this first beta phase right here is that when we want to consider ourselves sort of the Rosetta Stone of the video community. So to build a video, you'll be able to pull from, you know, Facebook, you know, your videos to build it and then export it to Facebook or to YouTube or something like that, right? And so we're not relying just on our own social environment. But we're also, within our environment, the benefits in our personal environment are that people will have the freedom, not immediately in the beta, but right afterwards, to do things like remix the videos, if you allow that, you know, take parts of it and kind of play with it and collaborate with it, if you allow it, append onto the end of videos, if you allow it. So a lot of it comes down to, we wanted to make sure that the creator had the final say on what happens, you know, Creative Commons licenses and things like that. But if the creator wants to be very open and allow what they're doing to be kind of explored by other people, that's possible.
Oh, I see.
Right. Yeah. So, and not only that, at any time that you want, it's like, you're not going to have to worry about, well, if I take this piece of video, you know, off this post, like, am I going to have to worry about trying to recreate that or repost it? You're always open. It's your content, right? So we want the creator to be, have that accessible to them at all times. So if you want to go in and reuse a piece of content that you've already used and not have that affect the original, you can go in and do that and maintain that post and, you know, remix and add to it even if you want. And then you can leave that open-ended, like Jim said, in whatever form or fashion you want for other people to play around with or explore or add to. So,
I'm just thinking of one of the possibilities that comes to mind for me is, like, obviously meme warfare is very big out there. This seems like this would be a very fun tool to quickly grab a video and memeify it in your own way. I just, my mind is stretching out with the possibilities that this platform can offer users.
I mean, you'll even be able to publish your videos as GIFs.
Okay.
We're kind of coming up with a pretty cool tool for the GIF marketplace that I'm not going to really go into now, but it'll
close
be fun.
Close your mind that GIFs are big things again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's so much fun, though.
Yeah. They are really fun, and I mean, GIFs are kind of like another form of language, right? And so we wanted to give our users a fun little a few fun tools to play around with those things and do some really cool stuff, not only collaboratively, but also in a social network environment too.
One of the things that we've learned, like from the meme warfare that you're talking about, is that you put a whole bunch of people together and give them some like content and some things to play with, and they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people can do some hilarious things that can really kind of uplift you, and some of it's dark.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but people together like that can be really hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is a unifying force, I agree. So thanks so much for sharing where you guys are at with this. I'm excited to hear more in the future and have you back. So let's give you the final plug. Where can people go to get involved with Looplio?
So they can go to www.looplio.com. That's our landing page. And they can pre-register their username for when the app actually goes live. And we're, like I said, going live with beta tonight. So they'll be able to go to the beta site and sign up for beta, and they'll get an email with some other instructions for when we actually launch it on Tuesday. So we want to kind of just get things out there and get
that, that web URL is looplio.com/beta testers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But everything is accessible at looplio.com, and I certainly hope people go there and just check out what we're doing. All
right. Very cool. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at technori, or follow me at Freilich Sean. Stick a fork in it. This dish is done.